You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk. Eusebius is on Twitter at Eusebius.
26 minutes before 11, South African rap, which obviously I know lots about, not. Is it all about the money or is that an unfair description? Give us a call, 011-883-0702 in Johannesburg and in Cape Town on 021-446-0567. I don't know. You know, I mean, I suppose there are two different questions here that I want us to discuss. The one is just, what is an accurate description of what is out there? What is the truth about what rappers actually do rap about? And then there's a different question, which is the only one where I would venture an opinion as someone who doesn't really listen to rap. I've been trying and failing. Chris Vick is still trying to educate me, doing a bad job. But the second issue, of course, is should we care? Should you just rap about your experiences? If your experience is all about the money, then that will be reflected in your lyrical content. You can't pretend to be woke if you're not woke. So let's listen to this. Danero, just tell our listeners, what is that first little montage that you're going to play there?
Okay, so the first one is a song mash of three different artists. So I would say woke in your vocabulary.
Who are they?
So that's,
it's not my vocab. You said these guys are woke.
So it's Double HP, it's Dumi, and it is Proverb.
Are they woke? I thought they were all cheese.
No, no, no. This is like music from like a while ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's play it. Set the scene. Okay. I don't know. Apparently these guys are woke. Now, here's a different montage to know. Now, what is the next one?
So this is what I would call commercial rap. That's AKA Ricky Rick and Delays. So they're basically talking about money and living large and labels and stuff. But it's up to the listeners.
Okay, cool. Let's play it. Okay, 21 minutes before 11. What do you think? Do you think it's all about the money when it comes to SA rap? Is that an unfair description? And even if it is accurate, is that a problem? 011-883-0702 in Jerseyland and in Cape Town. You can take part in this chat on 021-446-0567. With me in the studio, I've got Slicker. Thanks so much for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And also, Sizwe Mpofu Walsh, fresh from Britain. Not just an academic, also into hip-hop, author and activist, rapper. Dude, I was surprised. I thought that you are a nicer person than me. Then I read that interview and he's like saying things like, I'm not impressed with any of our major artists. Why is that?
Look, I think hip-hop is a very complicated art form and there's certainly a place for black self-actualization, right? So I don't have a problem with hearing about black success. I don't think we should necessarily be policing black wealth up to a certain point. But then there's just a time when people in the most unequal country in the world take it overboard and distance themselves from ordinary people. You know, you really don't need gold teeth in order to be taken seriously, right? That's just like a display of crass materialism in a sea of poverty that I think is objectionable. And so I'm not saying that people should just rap about like poverty and social issues. That's boring. No one wants to hear about it. I like a lot of the stuff that's out. But at the same time, I do think sometimes we need to call rappers out for the messages that they send when they go over the line.
Let's take that example, right? I'll bring you in a second, Slicker. I mean, the interesting thing about so-called, what Danero just called commercial rap, is that I don't know whether in this country you can ever get away from anything, and I don't mean this in a trivial sense, being almost inherently political. So sure, the dude that you are maybe subtweeting there with the image of a gold tooth, I think about his lifestyle, his symbolism, what he does, right? And I contrast him with, I don't know, let's imagine he went to St. John's, and I see myself like reading his commercial identity politically. When I hear him, the way he's wretched, the way he just sets the weirdest thing on Twitter, and I think to myself, my goodness, I'm sure that's not what mom and dad think they invest in when you go to St. John's and you become this commercial rapper. So even the commercial rap for me lands politically.
For sure. Look, I'm not even necessarily just subtweeting AKA. There are actually now a lot of rappers who have gold teeth. It's become something of a trend. But I absolutely agree with you. And look, it's political either way. But if you look at South Africa, one of the things that I take issue with is that there's actually a sophisticated infrastructure of power that buttresses the ANC. So, for example, if you look at the 2016 election, celebrities and rappers in particular were crucial to the ANC's campaign and how it was going to reach young people. So you can't have strippers in your video, objectifying women 1 minute and then turn around and want to lecture people on what they should be voting about the next minute. And that's where I think a problem arises. You can't have it both ways. If you want to rap about, you know, that life and say things which are morally objectionable, then don't turn around and pretend to be a leader in society and have things to say about inequality.
Fair enough.
And so, yeah, the other thing is just, if you look at African countries, Burkina Faso, for example, in 2014, had a huge revolution led by hip-hop artists, Burundi, the Arab Spring. So this is a hugely powerful art form on the continent and in the world. And I think we just need to realize, and sometimes I wish rappers with a bigger platform would realize just how powerful their voice can be in addressing some of the social inequalities in South Africa.
Slick, I want to bring you in here. Is it even fair to characterize SA rap as all about the money? Or lifestyle, commercial?
You know, I'm always just super, I don't know if I'm neutral, but like I feel that it's wrong to give rap so much power. I think it's wrong to give a culture and an art form so much power. I think you gotta look at like the people in it firstly and say, where do they come from? You know, what have they been exposed to? And reality is, what do they define as success? And from how they were raised, how was success always defined with them? So whether they could have been doing R&B, I say, you know, even politicians are as bad as rappers. You know what I mean? So my thing is that, do we box it in a rap thing or do we box it in a black behavioral thing? And when we put it in a black behavioral thing, we go, why do we act a certain way? Now, I don't have a problem with guys talking about whatever they talk about and showing whatever they've worked with. I always use a guy like Casper. I go, I've never, in this day and age, I've never seen a guy who'll stand on two Bentleys and then again speak to the guy on the ground and still balance that, you know? And that is the secret of Casper's success, is that I don't get it. It's a paradox of, it's so inaccessible for like 95% of the black kids, but then he will go back and speak to the guy on the ground, whether it's through a post on the gram, whether it's through something that he does, and what people don't understand, it's also like there's these things, these mannerisms that show you that you understand what it means to be a black person, which he always like does that and still balances it with his, if you want to call it, aspiration. So my thing is that I don't know whether we have it's a rap problem or it's a black problem, and the black problem is, what don't we have so much that when we get a little of this, we want to shout about it? So we don't see it in rap only. We see it everywhere where black people move. What do other cultures and other races have that they do so well? They are bigger, but they don't shout it out the way that we shout it. So I think that like when we put it down to rap, we minimizing the problem. It's a black problem. And then it's a political problem where do we come from to get to this point where we always have to shout about things we don't own? My fight with all the guys that I'm speaking with, not even a fight, it's a fight in my head. I've even reached out. I said, what if I use the clout, and I'm not interested in politics, but what if I use the clout that AKA Casper, Cash Time, what if we use that clout to say, let's go sell our own brand? What if you use the cloud to go, let's create an industry within an industry? Let's turn this power and this equity that we have to be a thing that where Ricky doesn't have to stand up on stage and go radio this. Why don't we create those things? Because digital has allowed us. So for me, I think we have a black problem, a black problem of perceiving success, a black problem of understanding what leadership is versus a rap problem, you know?
Okay, let's hear what the listeners say. Plenty of people, as I predicted, want to weigh in this one. Oliver, good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Last time I was on this platform, exactly on a very similar conversation.
Ah, man, Oliver, that line is not very great, my friend. We'll try and have you back on a different line in a second. I know you have plenty to say about hip-hop. We'll get there. We'll just see whether we can call you back. Let's go to Bushle. Hello, Bushle.
Yeah, I was just listening to the conversation. I think a lot of people give commercial rap a bad rap. I mean, it takes a lot of skill to sit in a room and write a song that is going to be appealing to a lot of people. I think when you're on the conscious side, you're just writing for yourself and you're writing for your own experience. So I think a lot of people in the commercial side should be given their due.
I'll just say something to that. I think that, like, anything that touches people, you know, anything that touches people and that can make people convert to think a certain way is powerful. Whether it be something, if a mainstream song works and people love the mainstream, that means that they have a dream of being in that aspirational world. People don't say that Arrested Development was actually selling a lot. They were going platinum. They pulled Arrested Development off the market because they were literally like, people were singing songs of progression through Arrested Development and Dead Prayers. People don't talk about these groups that were going platinum, selling better, selling just like the guys who were actually mainstream. But it's actually the industry that literally like pushed out make commercial rap because they wanted to push the crass. So all I'm saying is that both these things can coexist. A conscious song is probably won't be played at a club, but if your conscious song is not working, you probably never made the right conscious song, you know?
Sure, yeah. Cesar, would you agree with that?
Look, I think we need to complicate the binary between conscious and commercially successful. It's actually just not empirically true that all rappers who are commercially successful rap just about money, you know? So, like, I'm talking from the States. Kanye came up rapping about real stuff. Eminem has made very conscious hip-hop, Jay-Z, Nas. So, actually, all the biggest artists have had a social impact. And in South Africa, too. A lot of the artists that are doing well have said political things. So, I don't think we should box people into these idealized categories. What I'm saying, though, is I think we should have slightly higher standards. I don't think we should just accept that when a rapper comes out and expresses this lifestyle, which A, is deceitful because they're not really living that lifestyle, and B, sends a message to young kids that they can live that lifestyle, they should drop out of school, when in actual fact it's based on a lie that's premised on social media. I think we should have higher standards and as a society call that out when it happens.
Why do you say it's deceitful?
If you're not actually living that lifestyle, like UCBS, you and I know, you know, how much money you need to be successful in your life, right? And most of these rappers aren't making that much money. Sure, you could make $2 million in a year. Over a lifetime, do you think that's going to make you financially comfortable? It's not.
I'm going to come in there.
So it's deceitful to suggest that you are living this life, which people then look up to.
Okay.
In the background, you're not, and you're creating this false expectation and false hope in the most unequal and poverty-drenched society in the world.
I mean, that's why I need to come in there and just say that, you know, there's a guy who earns 3,000 rand who's never made money before, and they think they're making money.
Sure.
There's a guy who earns 10,000 rand and they think that they're not making that they're making money. There's a guy who's making 1 million rand and they think they're not making money a month, right? And there's a guy who's making 1 million rand who thinks that he's not making enough money. And there's a guy who's making 3,000 rand who thinks he's not making enough money. Now, the perception, now this once again goes back to where you come from. Like, do you even understand that, like, you only got 3 years to make 2, 3, 4 million, something that you've never seen before. So your arrival into money is so new that you haven't even thought that this thing can stop, A. And B, your arrival of money, even if you are making 2 million, you're probably making more money than like all the kids that you lived around in your hood. So automatically, your perception of make success is not based on your longevity and life. It's based on I come from this community. And that's a very important thing, because if you coming from this community, if you making more money, I always go, I've got enough money for myself, but in the world I'm probably one of the poorest person. You know what I mean? Some people don't see it like that. Their world is that I come from this community.
Let me take a couple of calls here. We've got millions of people who want to agree and disagree with various aspects of what both of you are saying. Sabelo Mkabela, how's it, Sabelo?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm very good. What are your thoughts on this one? It was your article that sparked this conversation.
I think I kind of like agree with Slicker. I think, like, first of all, I just think people should, like, you have a choice to not listen to music that talks about money. You can just listen to someone who's rapping about something else. But with the rappers, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with them rapping about money because, you know, this is a person who, like, for example, a guy like Casper just came from Mafia Gang. Like, he never thought he would actually have as much as he has now. So it's just like he's telling his own story, which I believe that's what rap is about. You're just telling your own story. So he's just saying, hey, I came from Mafia Gang and now I have two Bentleys and whatever, whatever, whatever. And that makes me happy because that's what hip hop is about. It's self-expression. So I don't even think it's irresponsible in any form. I just really think that maybe like the radio station to play the music are the ones who are responsible for creating a balance, like play that kind of music. But also, if you feel like these rappers are rapping about money, there are rappers who are not rapping about money and rapping about other serious things or whatever you prefer to call it. And then, but yeah, otherwise, these guys are just like telling their own stories, and I don't see anything
but
wrong.
But just a quick one, Sabella, before I let you go and take other callers as well. I mean, isn't that a little bit hasty, right? So, like, all art, whether we talk, obviously, today we're talking rap, next week we could be talking about painters, the week after that, the same question arises with us who are authors. You can either pretend that you're just writing your truth, or you can accept that you live in the world, you come from the world, and your artistic output lands in the world as well. Is it good enough to say, I'm telling my truth, drops mic, walks away? Or should you be cognizant of what the effect of your behavior is? I mean, you know, in some ways, that's a general point about humans in societies where you have people who are social beings. You can't pretend that you are living in your own world.
I mean, I get where you are coming from, but I can't speak for someone else. Like myself, if I was a rapper, I would have some form of like responsibility. But I'm just saying, like, these guys choose to not do it. I don't see why we should crucify them about it. Like, that's my standpoint, really.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks, Sabello. Let's take another call. Oliver.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yeah, better. Go ahead.
The last time we had a similar chat to this, the last time I spoke to you on this platform was having a similar chat to this, the intersectionality between rap and feminism. And I want to make exactly the same point I made the other day. Everything in rap is political. You know, the conversation you've been having kind of poses the question implicitly and wants to separate it from the rest. The question being, is there a space for conscious rap in South Africa? And I think that all rap in South Africa is conscious rap because it's all political. You know, to characterize things as certain things as woke and certain things as unwoke is dangerous. Because here's why. If you're going to consider AKA's opulence or Casper in your vest opulence as something that's not woke, you're going to ignore the impact it has, the political impact it has on the people who listen to it. Consider this. Casper comes from a background of poverty, right? And now he's made it. He's got the two Bentleys. You know, he's the CEO of his own company. And he's really made it. In December of 2015, he made 8 million rand just on shows alone. And then the message he sends to the kids, and Casper's been very proud about this, is that he thinks he's an inspiration to children who come from similar backgrounds as him. What he's essentially doing, he's essentializing his excellence. But particularly his black excellence, saying to kids that you too can do it, then the children who listen to him don't think about the structural inequality that's the systematic and systemic to their existence and to their reality, and they think they too can make it, when Casper is really just an outlier. You know, he's an exceptional case. The majority of us are just never going to overcome the systematic inequality that Casper has been able to overcome in rap. But the contrast to that, if you have the sort of woke conversations that people characterize as woke, if you speak to something that's very political and controversial, you use the word controversial or political in it, then, you know, often the conversation gets lost in ad hominem attacks. Consider, and I'm glad you have Slicker there, about 6 years ago or so, Slicker released a song called Blacks Are Fools. Right, caused huge uproar in South Africa. And instead of having the conversation about how black people perceive money and wealth, there was a range of ad hominem attacks from the ANC and politicians alike to to the character of Slicker and not to the content of the song itself. And this is just a manifestation of how we generally have debate in South Africa anyway. You know, it's ad hominem attacks, it's strawmans, and it's never really an assessment of the content itself. But I want to disagree with Slicker in terms of, like, we shouldn't be giving rap that much power. The reality is that it's a big platform. It has millions of listeners, and it's going to have that power just by its number of followers, right? And the question is, do we then start regulating that power? And I think it's important that we're able to start having the conversation about how do we regulate the power that rap has. How do we as broadcasters...
I'm not sure one can do that artistically necessarily. Obviously, the choice is whether you can play as a broadcaster. Just 30 seconds, Oliver, then we got to wrap it. I wanted to ask you this question, though. I mean, it's interesting that you give a reading, which was something I put to Caesar earlier as well, that someone who is quote-unquote commercial, and I take both your points, yours and his, about that dichotomy being weird, but that they can, the fact that they can be read in a conscious manner, that they land in a way where you can say, yeah, I can take my little liberal arts degree at Wits, and yes, this is how I can make conscious sense of them. Is that good enough, or should they have that consciousness in their head rather than being lost when they're listening to how you are busy positioning them?
I think they can have that. They can find the balance between commercial viability and consciousness in their head. I think Tumi Molekane did it perfectly on his album Return of the King. It's the best anthropological study of young black lives in South Africa I've ever come across. Better than any academic paper out there on it. And this all came to me in a rap album. I think he did similarly the same thing on his last album, Stoggy T. And I think the balance is there between commercial viability and consciousness. But my caution is that we should not make the separation between what is conscious and what is not conscious, because everything that rap produces is political by the existence of it.
Okay, great stuff. Let's take a break. Is South African rap sufficiently conscious, or is it too commercial? Is that a false dichotomy at any rate? What are your thoughts? Give us a call on 011-883-0702 in Johannesburg. And of course, if you're in Cape Town, you can also take part in this conversation, 021-446-0567. Some people were saying, oh, come on, Slicker. I mean, you know, rappers have a lot of power. And I know you've got some thoughts on that. I see some pushback on Twitter on that point. I want to give you a chance to say a bit more about that.
Yeah, you know, what people need to understand is that rap started in the 70s and it's always been changed by technology. So what we hear, that's the end product. That's technology. Right now you've got Migos and that's the hot sound. Back in the day it was Biggie. So that's the technology that delivers this art form. So don't put power on the technology that delivers the art form. You got to put power on the people that actually are that find... They could have expressed whoever they are. They could have been real or fake on any other platform, but they literally found it within rap, you know? Mm. So don't give rap the power. Look at where people come from and then look at that and see them as that guy is actually misappropriating the culture a certain way. Mm. But you only see misappropriation over time. And misappropriation is further influenced by brands and people that are not from the culture that try plug into the culture, and they amplify all the, like, you were using the political example earlier on where you said like, you know, an artist literally like has got girls in the video and then next thing they're running a campaign. But you know, the artist doesn't have the power in the medium to actually like reach all the extra platforms that those companies or those politicians or those brands are actually playing for. So essentially, if these brands aren't also looking at, this is where the heart of this comes from. It's not always the big star that resonates, but understand the story of why the culture is just relevant across the board. Mm. And then start plugging that, because it's not only if the wrong person like slides through the cracks and makes it, and a brand plugs into that and further amplifies that because they don't know what's right, they just want to be cool.
Sure.
You can't blame rap. You got to blame the fact that this guy's made it through and he's fake.
So you were making a similar point when you and Slicker were talking during the commercial break there.
For sure. Look, I think this is something really important, is that too often we put all the blame on artists, and some of the blame does lie with them. But there's a huge corporate celebrity culture, which is both diversionary and, you know, taking people's attentions away from the things that actually matter in the country. Mm. But it's also stoking these rappers, and it's making them do these things that are taking them away from just more original rap, in my opinion. So I think we need to place a lot of the blame on these corporations. But the other thing that I think we do need to realize is that I do think that the medium has tremendous social power. That's exactly why the ANC uses hip-hop in its campaigns. That's exactly why a revolution just happened in Burkina Faso on the back of hip-hop artists. That's why the Arab Spring happened on the back of hip-hop artists. That's why in Burundi, Nkurunziza was taken down because of hip-hop artists. And people like Slick and what he's done with Slick on Life have built incredible platforms which are changing culture in South Africa. And now we need to think, this thing has been built on the back of people who actually didn't profit, you know. You've got people like H2O. You've got people who came up in the early 2000s who actually built this culture. And many of the people who are now appropriating it are riding on the backs of people who spent lots of time building a culture. What do we do with that culture as young people? We've built something that's changing people's lives, changing people's minds. Are we going to fritter it away on gold teeth? Or are we going to do something that changes the social dynamics of South Africa? And I would always hold out the hope that we as young people can do that. We can use this medium that we've built from the ground up to change the society and not just change our own lives. And that's the hope I think we should hold out. And that's how much pressure and scrutiny I believe we should put on these artists, because they matter.
Can I just say that also? Rap is so powerful, right? Well, not the people behind rap, the idea, the people, because rap is just music. But the people behind it, the ideas, those guys, when they get together, they're so powerful. They could create it. I'm saying this again. They could create an industry. So that's why I'm saying, leave the music. Bring those minds together. The fear of bringing those minds together will change how brands address this. The fear of bringing those minds together will change how politicians address this. But you see, as long as we divide it, you know, they'll always be there. So I'm more concerned about the minds, because the music is a sonic thing. It keeps changing.
Sure.
So at the end of the day, you know, and this is just like a shameless plug, you know, this is how passionate I am about us getting this right. I'm holding a summit at the 31st of March called The Dope Brands in a Room. We're inviting brands. I've got like very key people speaking there who've been influential in the culture because they've built certain things. They've changed things. It's speaking there. So for all the brands out there, just hit me up at contact@onlife.co.za, because you just talked about great examples of revolutions, of cultural revolutions, and how culture influences. And I don't think that, like, we've accepted how powerful we are as black artists, firstly. And I don't think that even the white world is accepting how powerful we are. But the more we work against each other, the more we compete with each other on song, the more we take shots at each other, the less powerful we are. So right now, when we get together and we start collaborating with the brands, then we stop the misappropriating. Then we start pushing out the right messages. And even if you are, I mean, like we just said now, Casper could be showing like a big ass, like, what them cars is? Them cars that he has. But everybody knows that what Casper's saying, Casper's shocked. I don't believe I've got this. And that's just for everybody. I don't believe I've got this. And B, because I've got it, I don't want to be selfish with it and say that only I can get it. I just want you to know that maybe you could be also an exception. And then whether you like his music or not, at the end of the day, that's something else, though. So let's not mix content and people. The people have so much power. But they only think that their power is in the content they create. But their power could be in the economy. Absolutely. Their power can be politically. But if they work together, not politicians influencing them, not brands influencing them influencing each other to build something positive.
Okay, let's take a couple of calls and then we'll wrap, pardon the pun, after that. Ash in Sandton.
Hey, Yubi. Thank you so much for taking my call. Good morning to you and your guest. You know, I think for me, sorry, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Oh, thanks. I think for me, firstly, let me outright say this. I've been a fan of the culture. I've been a fan of the music forever. But I'm also more interested in conscious stuff. A friend of mine and I, we constantly have this argument about, you know, the misappropriation of the culture. Not only the misappropriation of the culture, but what message are they sending out, you know, with your more commercial artists being punted on radio and your more conscious not being punted on radio. But, you know, the argument that we always, or the conclusion that we always come to, is that there's room. This world is made up of so many different people, and that's what makes it work, you know. There's room for the commercial or your commercial artists to exist alongside your conscious artists. And I mean, even these artists, there's also room for these artists to evolve from one level of consciousness to another. If you look, if you listen to old Jay-Z, if you listen to, you know, the older hip-hop artists, you know, old Kanye, they were coming from a very conscious perspective. And if you listen to their music, the more recent music that they've made, it's very different sounding to what they used to make. And for me, what that speaks to is that these guys as artists have evolved, and they're sending the same message that, for instance, that Casper is sending out to the young kids out there, to say that I came from this place and I got into this place. Artists grow from one aspect of their life or for one level of consciousness to another level of consciousness. They're now existing on a different plane. And I think the message there is the message out there is that, yes, you can do this as well. Any other kid can do this. Any other kid from any hood, any ghetto, in any level of poverty can actually do that. You can achieve that if you put in the work. I think for me, hip-hop has, you know, just as a culture, is a microcosm of our world at large. There's different artists that are contributing in different ways to this culture. And, you know, as there are different people contributing in different ways to the world. And
okay, we'll leave it there, Ash. Just in the interest of time, I mean, I think you've made your point well. Vuyo in Sandton, how's it, Vuyo?
I'm well on yourself, Eusebio.
Good, thanks. What do you want to say?
First of all, I just want to thank you for having this conversation. I personally feel it's been long overdue. But here is my view, Eusebio. What I'm seeing with with rap in South Africa currently is a lot of, imitation. There's no originality. You know, all these guys are going around being rappers and imitating what is happening in America and trying to sell that to us. There's no originality anyway. You know, I'm going to take this from a perspective of being an artist. When you're an artist, you pride yourself over being different from other artists and bringing something new to the table. And in today's day and age, Eusebius, where the world is so ready to embrace and looking for those special germs, that's something that is always unique. You know, it shocks me to realize that guys that are imitating other people are being so embraced. It still shocks me, you know. So for me, they need to ask themselves one question. Where is their artistic pride? Thank you.
Thanks, Vio. Let's take two quick ones and then we'll leave it there. Tabo, you've been holding on for the longest. Thanks for your patience.
Thank you, Eusebius. Eusebius, I want to argue that for me, rap is poetry in lyrical form. And any student of poetry will tell you that there is the literal meaning and then there is the figurative meaning. And you have symbolism and you have hyperbole and all of those aspects. So when I consume rap, I choose whether to consume it literally or figuratively. For instance, if Casper says, I'm a billionaire, I must decide, is that literal? Is he saying it in a literal sense, or is he now expressing some form of hyperbole in his music? So I think we need to understand it in that context, because many of the views expressed today, I rather look at it from a literal perspective instead of a figurative perspective. So for me, having gold tooth is symbolism. Perhaps in the case of AKA, it symbolizes success, but it depends on how I consume it. So it's up to the consumer. That's what I argue.
Who's your favorite South African rapper?
Casper Nyovest, AKA Ricky Rick, all of these philosophers.
Final call, Musa. Jeez, your patience. Thank you so much. Obviously, this is a heated discussion. Musa, what are your reflections?
You see, first and foremost, thank you for always talking to me, you know, and today you're talking to me even more. Pasiya, what's up?
What's up,
bro? You know, the way I look at it, you see, is hip-hop has been conscious for a long time. And, you know, when we were in varsity, because I'm over 30 now, so when we were in varsity, we listened to conscious hip-hop, but we were a coffee shop, you know, we were coffee shop revolutionaries. We listened to all this stuff, black this, back this, power this, but we did nothing. And today's youth does something, you know. We've got Fees Must Fall. Fees Must Fall it's got nothing to do with political music. It's got everything to do with people being political in themselves. So
There's a time and place for art, and there's a time and place to do something. And I think that's what makes me the most mad about people not seeing the fact that conscious hip-hop has its place, but at the end of the day, we need to be conscious in ourselves. We need to be more people.
Mm. Thanks, Musa. Slicka, your final thoughts? I can hear a lot of amens there as he's going on.
Well, look, I mean, in closing, this is what I want to tell people. I grew up when I was a kid, I was watching SABC. I switched on radio. It was SABC radio. I switched on, I literally got now on TV. You got all the channels. I saw the music as international movies, etc., etc. Every point of content that I was actually exploring had some type of global influence. And it is unfortunate that that global influence has never actually given me a pride of being a Black Shangaan South African at no time, or being a Black Shangaan South African living in Katlehong at any time. Hence, when you hear content from rap, it's something that comes historically from all the sources that we've been seeing that have actually been influencing our head, where we always saw that America's better. Being white is even better, you know, being Black. All these things that we're seeing are things that we are learning. Wearing Gucci is better than having your own. Till this day, I think it's all these mediums have gotten us to that point. It is the first time I never talked. I said to you, to everybody, it is the first time I say, why don't we get together? Those are the conversations. We have this power. We have one. We have 10 people with 1 rand. We have 10 rand. We have this power. It's time. We have never seen anything in any of our mediums that teaches us how far we can go if we get together. That stuff is what needs to be commercialized. Instead, we're pointing at the rappers. We're pointing at the powerful people who are pure need to get together, and let's see where South Africa is going to be, and where the kids that don't have jobs or living in the hoods or whatever are, and how they're going to be inspired if the powers get together. That's the new. That's what I want to see when I switch on TV. I want to see us getting together. And that's not even just Black. Even any white South African that feels that they could play a part in it. Let's see how powerful we'll be. Because everything in this world, the economy, the music, the television, everything has gotten global influence. Even our social media, it's not even ours. That's why I started Slick on Life. I said, I'll literally, even if it's a small website, we'll literally be a medium that's mostly Black-owned, and that will push our culture. And that's where we got to go.
So is what your final reflection?
For sure. Look, I think everybody who's called in, Slick and I, all agree that we shouldn't just listen to Immortal Technique, or we shouldn't just listen to AKA. There's beauty and there's power in both of those things. But that doesn't mean that we all have to accept them blindly. Right. And I think that there are aesthetic criticisms and ethical criticisms that we can bring to bear on music that we may even love and interrogate with ourselves. Hey, why do I like this? What does it say about me? And I think we need to have a much more complex relationship with music like that. And we need to be able to criticize it in a society as complex as ours. For example, take the way that hip hop often projects women. I think that's objectionable. I think misogyny in rap is a problem and we should change it and we should criticize it. Yes, the world is misogynistic, and yes, rappers may be misogynistic, but we can also call it out. So why can't we call out crass hypermaterialism and the idolization of Gucci in South Africa? I just think we should be able to do that, and we should always do that in South African society. So gold teeth, no, but nice music that I can get down to. Do I like The World Is Yours? Absolutely. And finally, I think that I'd like to prove, hopefully in August, with Democracy and Delusion, the album that's coming out, that you can have an album that has a deep social impact and that people can get down to. Mm-hmm. So to all those people who think...
Slick on Life, if I...
Slick on Life will premiere the album.
Can't wait to feature that on this show as well. Okay, just choose one. At the end of the show on a Friday, we always close out with a song. I want people to tweet their preference, and we make a random choice, and our listeners always wait to see, what are we going to choose this week? Well, we've got two choices, and I know this is now a false dichotomy. I've been schooled, but the quote-unquote conscious song, apparently, that we have is Proverb, I Have a Dream. Or we can play out at 12 o'clock today with AKA's The World Is Yours. Slicka, which one would you play out with if you were a DJ?
Yo, pro, give the kids a chance, man. Let's go with AKA.
How about you, Caesar?
Look, AKA, it's all well and good, but pro is still the king.
Do you say pro? Okay, I say AKA. We're going to see what Twitter says, and then we'll tally it up. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thank you, guys.